This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, Mr. Big Voice Guy, I appreciate you letting the folks know that it's, in the loop on Sports Radio 610, and we're about to go around the NFL, but I did want to make sure to let you know on the day game versus the Mariners, the final game of that particular three-game set, we do have the lineup. Bregman, third, Pena, shortstop. Yainer playing at DH, batting third. Singleton at first base. Caratini catching. Hayward in right field, which means Kyle Tucker gets the day off. Dubon playing left. Myers in center field. And, of course, Yusei is pitching. So the days off that we actually got were Altuve will have the day off.
And Tucker.
And Tucker will have the day off. So they begin Espada's kind of rest rotation that'll happen over the next four games.
So it's a hangover roster, but lineup, but not necessarily the hangover players. Pretty much as the Astros would often trot it out there, if they want to give Altuve a day off or whatever.
Yeah, so I just wanted to make sure that we got that in, let you know that, hey, the Astros have already gone into the mode of trying to make sure that they're getting dudes days off, getting themselves ready for the wild card series, which begins next week. All right, let's go around the NFL now, which is brought to you by Quick Assist, your no-hassle solution to reselling your tickets across every marketplace. Download Quick Assist from your app today. That's Quickassyst. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. All right, we begin with a little bit of news about your week four opponent. Who is that?
Your week four opponent would be the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That is correct. I just want to make sure you're listening. Yes. I appreciate that. Jacksonville Jaguars linebacker Foye Oluokun will miss several weeks with plantar fasciitis. So that means that linebacker will not be available as this week they'll be facing off against the Texans. So that's another guy that will be missing for the Jaguars. The Jaguars defense, mind you, that was already like Darnell Savage, who's kind of their nickel guy specialist. He didn't play in the last week. He didn't play in the last couple weeks, in fact. I do wonder where he is at. Like, this is a Jaguars team that has missed players and has already looked pretty despondent, all things considered. And so, this will be really interesting to see how they come in, especially since Doug Peterson, when it comes to like them being 0-3, he said this, talking about the situation. If you want to be an elite football team, it's led from within. It's led by the players. Listen, the speeches are done. The speeches are over. We don't want any more rah-rah stuff. It's just time to go play football, fix the mistakes, and do everything we can to play the best football this weekend. Does that sound like a guy who knows that his voice is not being heard in the locker room?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, maybe. I actually don't mind it too much because I think it is probably a good message. He said something else, though, that made me squirm a little bit. We'll get to that during confessions. But yes, it could be that as well. I mean, the clock is more than ticking. I mean, it's more than ticking on Doug Peterson. And as far as like the Jags and Oluokun being out and all that stuff and other players being out, this is not really a game where I care much about
the opponent coming in necessarily.
Yes, and that's a coaching cliche. But the Texans, they really do need they need to win this thing going away. They need to win it comfortably to give it. Otherwise, you're still kind of, we're still here next week, right? Like, if it's another close game, we're like, eh.
Oh, yeah, no. The sky won't necessarily be falling, but there you'll be able to see some clouds real close.
We'll be doing the same thing.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking the word style points, and I'm like, that's not actually the situation, but the execution, the way that you go about the things, mm-hmm. is going to matter a lot more when it comes to this outcome.
Yes.
Although the outcome needs to be good too.
For
the Texans on Sunday. Another thing that happened yesterday that was kind of, I don't know, it got the people going, right? It had the internet going nuts, as they say. Brett Favre revealed that he, you know, had a particular diagnosis. And this happened during a congressional hearing. So the circumstances where it happened was wild. What happened was wild. He was speaking to Congress. I don't know why I said it that way. When it came to like a hearing on misuse of welfare funds, if you remember, in Mississippi, Brett Favre was involved in a improper usage of welfare funds. Obviously, mm-hmm. money that is supposed to go to people who are less fortunate and help them better their lives. Like, that's the way that it's allotted for. Ultimately made their way into his hands. Some of it going ultimately to Southern Mississippi, the
yeah.
University of Southern Mississippi, where it was his alma mater, in order to build a volleyball gym. Yeah, that's wild. And in the you know, situation where they're talking about his former drug company that he was involved with receiving $2 million of TANF money, we got this.
Sadly, I also lost an investment in a company that I believed was developing a breakthrough concussion drug I thought would help others. And I'm sure you'll understand why it's too late for me, because I've recently been diagnosed with Parkinson's. This is also a cause dear to my heart. Recently, the doctor running the company pleaded guilty to taking TANF money for his own use.
How do you feel about this?
This is real tough to handle. Because,
how
look,
do you feel about
Parkinson's
this?
Is a very serious disease. We've seen it happen. We've seen it be, you know.
Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox, obviously, most visibly, I mm-hmm. think, for the American public. A man who dealt with it. And you saw the mm-hmm. kind of, like, physical deterioration with him and, like, we know also when it comes down to it is like concussions greatly increase rather the likelihood of Parkinson's developing. And so like
Muhammad Ali.
Right. Like yeah. it does seem like there is a reason to, you know, look at what he's saying with the level of, you know, honesty and, you know, reasonable, or I guess for whatever, like, I don't know what the right word is, but like look at it and see that there's probably some earnestness in there that this is important, especially the supposed drug Prevacus, I don't know, or
yeah.
supposed company rather, that was supposedly developing a drug that would help with this. However, this is one of those, I don't know if anybody really wants to hear it from you
mm-hmm.
in this circumstance, because you stole government money.
Yes.
And I think the ultimate ways that it happened was supposedly he was having some speeches that he did not actually attend, mm-hmm. got paid for those. The idea that he did not know that this is misappropriation. Hey, man, we got, like, they got texts on you, dog. Like, they yeah. got dirt on you, doggy, in the words of Cameron, right?
Yeah.
Like, the people know the ways in which it's very evident to put together and connect the dots on the fact that y'all were thieving, right? You were actively trying to defraud folks. We're very sorry to hear that you have Parkinson's disease. I hope that, like, you were able to, you know, utilize modern medicine to the way that this goes. But mm-hmm. that is not going to obscure the fact that you did something very wrong with the money that was supposed to go to people that were disenfranchised and such.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
That's what I'm going to say. You have to have a level of sensitivity to his quandary and his situation. But in terms of what he did, while you're still sensitive to it and maybe even, you know, a little bit just sort of understanding, it doesn't change when you're talking about what he did. That doesn't change how you should deal with it. And that might be insensitive to say, but I think it's the reality, because there's a lot of people suffered because of this. He is suffering, so you're sensitive to it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people suffered because of what he did. And so you can't be you can't be overly sensitive and that much forgiving when it comes to dealing with it.
Yeah, man, you know? Like defrauding the government, right? Yeah. Like I know some people will have, you know, the moral discussion of, you know, when is it right to do that, right? When is it right to do like Robin Hood type stuff, except ultimately, there was the reverse Robin Hood, right? Yeah. All that money made its way to a to state him. Institution, and he's like, to help the community. Like, the volleyball arena ain't helping the community, man. Yeah. Ultimately, what helps the community more is probably welfare funds making it to the people who need it.
Exactly.
Right? So that was such a wild thing, and of course, the internet absolutely went to that place. Now, as we continue around the NFL, I found this to be like a really interesting thing as well. Detroit Lions head coach Dan Campbell, they had to sell their house recently, and we found out why this week. Apparently, Dan Campbell's home address was leaked on social media by a classmate of his daughter earlier this year, and that led to multiple instances of harassment and unwanted visitors to his property, so they ultimately had to move. And, I mean, this isn't new, but it's always wild to see, again, that people don't got no act right, you know, when it comes to things like this. Hey, why can't we just act right, you know?
Mm-hmm. You're some of the worst people. I've said this last week with another story that was out there. When you go there, like literally go there, like literally going to his house, as happened here with Matt Schaub. Everybody was mad at Matt Schaub. Frankly, I don't know why so many people would be upset with Dan Campbell. Maybe they just wanted autographs, you know, or whatever. But there are times and places for that. And you're just a horrible person when you literally go there, and even worse when you're the one that's releasing this information. Man, come on, we do this for a living. You know, we'll compliment and criticize people for a living, opine and offer, you know, our thoughts on this or that. We ain't showing up at anybody's house. You know,
it's never that deep for me, man.
It's never that deep, ever.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely fair. I try and keep it away from being personal. It's all like, you know, a professional endeavor, I think, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously condolences to that situation that they had to deal with that. But glad that, like, it did not happen that something negative or something really bad happened, right? Because obviously that could go to really bad places. Around the NFL, we continue as apparently Fox, the employer of Tom Brady, rejected a Netflix request for Tom Brady to be on the Christmas game. So, you know, the NFL granted Netflix the opportunity to broadcast games on Christmas. One of those doubleheader will be involving your Houston Texans, who will face off against the Baltimore Ravens in that situation. In fact, they're paying $150 million for the opportunity to broadcast that game, as well as Chiefs Steelers. And apparently Netflix, who clearly they don't have an apparatus to broadcast games, they were looking, hopefully, to possibly use the top Fox team in order to broadcast one of these games, Burkhart and Tom Brady, and Fox rejected that request.
I honestly don't know how this became such a big story. Why would they? Like,
I thought it was a big story once Netflix, you know, got the rights to broadcast.
Well, that's true.
I was
true.
Wondering who is they going to get.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why would they? Why would they say, cool?
I imagine there would have to be like some financial stipulations within the course of that.
But to Fox as much as anyone, and Fox doesn't need that, nor do they want that. I mean, why would they allow Tom Brady to do that?
I mean, maybe if they got some benefit from it when it came to monetarily, I'm not sure.
I would exactly. If I was to do that, if I were Fox and I allowed them to do that, I would have to have Fox plastered all over Netflix.
Maybe. Like, yeah,
it would have to be some stuff like that, and probably some money involved with it too, for me to let my guy go over there.
I think that might be the only way. I think, you know, if Fox gets the branding, maybe.
And I'm interested to see what the Netflix broadcast looks like, as apparently they have, you know, kind of contracted out the work when it comes to producing the games to CBS Sports. Yeah. So I do wonder if it ultimately kind of looks like the CBS Sports package, just live on Netflix, or if they come up with a special Netflix branding. But when it comes to the actual broadcasters for these two games, they are targeting Ian and Noah Eagle for play-by-play talents, and Greg Olson and Nate Burleson when it comes to the analysts for these games. And so we'll see. Greg Olson, obviously a Fox talent, even though he's no longer on that A team. Yeah. I do wonder if we'll see if Fox is also in that place.
I think they should do the same
none
thing.
None of our talent goes, or if they're like, let Greg go do some things. That's fine.
I am very intrigued by this, because Netflix does a fantastic job. Like they really do. They don't pull any.
Have you seen some of their live?
I'm talking about just in general. Yeah, okay. Their live events, I have.
Because they have really endeavored.
They've done a really good job.
Yeah, they forayed into this space. I think they did the live hot dog eating situation. I know that they did like the live comedy
thing. Comedy thing.
The roast.
Yeah.
The roast was live. That's right. Yeah. I think they started trying to do the live stuff and it didn't go very well. Which, what was it? Chris Rock's?
Yeah, it was early on. I think Dave Chappelle. I think they did something with Dave Chappelle, like a live event. Yeah. Which they never did before.
Yeah, so
I think they're getting used to it now.
Yeah, and so I'm interested to see, like, it's a whole different level when you get to the Netflix, not Netflix, to the NFL.
Yeah.
Because I remember the Chris Rock one kind of, like, that one crashed. I think they started handling those better. But I don't know that there's any preparation for having an NFL football
game. But they're just getting into sports, and I think their live broadcast, as you said, they've not only gotten better, I think they're not going to pull any, they're not going to, you know, save, they're going to spend what they need to spend.
Yeah. I'm curious how this broadcast is going to go, too, because, look, I mean, I know it's a lot of Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle fans, but I'm guessing it's going to be a lot more people tuned in to Netflix.
Yeah. I mean, this another
football.
Yeah, another situation of the NFL getting more streaming situations. You remember that first Peacock game streaming? Mm-hmm. It didn't go well. I remember I was actually trying
even
to watch
Amazon
that.
Too, man.
That's true.
That first Amazon one, it kept crashing and buffering and all that stuff.
Yep.
Now it's cool. It's pretty much cool now. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to B Scott mentioning that Netflix did the Cat Williams live. He said that was amazing. So we'll see if they have the capability even before we find out who's broadcasting the games and what that looks like. So more power to Netflix, but that's obviously going to be important for the Texans fans that they get that right, because I'd be heated if I'm in the midst of watching CJ Stroud and the Texas drive and it's buffering and it's doing all sorts of crazy things.
The buffering, for sure, that would be awful. But I think the production value of it is going to be great.
One more thing before we send you, before we move on from around the NFL, CJ Henderson, a name that you're familiar with, found a new place to land. He is now on the practice squad of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So more power to CJ Henderson. I do. What, you think he's going to take?
5 picks.
All of a sudden, Mike Tomlin's going to turn him into something special. Well, the big thing is Mike Tomlin has like a healing hand. That's the thing, because CJ Henderson did not get a lot of time on the field, did he?
No.
He was hurt a lot.
Yeah,
too,
no. So.
Yeah, more power to him. Hopefully he can actually get on the field for his sake, because it's kind of crazy when you see some guys like that where highly drafted, highly regarded, and it just does not stick anywhere. All right, that's around the NFL here in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us thus far. Coming up next, will this thing maybe be a precursor to change for the Texans? 713-572-4610. We'll tell you what it is next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
You're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. We're getting ready for a day game for the Astros versus the Mariners, the final one at Minute Maid Park. And let me know if you care about the outcome. But what we do know, the Astros will start Ronel Blanco on Friday. And then Verlander will go Saturday, and Sunday is TBA as of right now. So you're already kind of setting yourself up for a postseason play. And along those lines, we also saw that Altuve and Kyle Tucker are getting the day off today in the day game against the Mariners as well. So a spot already doing the work of, in some ways, turning the page and getting themselves ready for postseason baseball.
Big time benefit to all of it. And interesting on the Verlander pitching Saturday, to me anyway. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. I think you get another start out of him. And once you get to the postseason, you may not even have to make the decision. Well, you do have to make a decision on the roster. But like as far as rotation, until late in the game. Because you know the first two. You know, the first two are going to be Fromber and Hunter Brown.
Fromber Brown, I imagine you say, then has given Kikuchi himself a real good opportunity there. Yeah, he might not even be on the wild card roster, or if we're going to be completely honest.
Yeah.
But there we go. That was an update that came through, and also we got a little bit of news that Yordan and Chaz McCormick will not accompany the Astros to Cleveland. So they'll both stay in Houston and work with team doctors to get themselves healthy. All right, but I did ask, could this particular thing be a sign that things are changing for your Houston Texans? And you let me know if you agree with this. We mentioned earlier, Titus Howard deleted his Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
And Titus Howard is online. He may be chronically online. Or at least he was prior to yesterday, or maybe earlier. I don't know. We don't know exactly when it happened, but yesterday mm-hmm. we did know that some internet detectives realized that, hey, Titus Howard's Twitter account has been deactivated. And so I do wonder, and I was listening to Area 45 last night mm-hmm. because I have three TVs and I will never give them up. So I had a little.
And the Odyssey app.
He had everything on too.
Did you turn the volume down on two of them?
I had the volume down on one of them.
It's not good enough, but go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. I was listening to the Astros game. I was listening to Area 45, and I had WNBA playoffs on the other one. And so,
this is so good.
But during the course of it, I heard Sean Bajani of Area 45 say this.
I think that's, at the very least, just a small little inclination that, you know what? There has been a message delivered to this team in terms of focusing and paying attention to what's really important and eliminating the outside noise, whether it's really good or really bad. And after 3 weeks, the Texans have probably heard a lot of both already. And maybe the negative being directed at, an individual or two, Laremy Tunsil, because that guy's been getting skewered since Sunday's loss. But for a guy who's really active on Twitter and very quick to defend, you know, his teammates and the team and whatever they're doing or not doing, Titus Howard, you know, putting the can on the Twitter account, at least at this present time, maybe for the 2024 season, we'll see. But I thought that was interesting because we've heard it routinely a lot this offseason about eating the rat poison, not worrying about what people are saying about how good this team is, how good this team can be, how great mm-hmm. of an offseason they had, how great of a draft they had, how great their quarterback is. No, no, no. They got to put up and they have to go to work and put their head down and win football games.
So that's Sean Bajani, mm-hmm. Area 45. You can hear that on Sports Radio 610 after Texans Radio. And do you agree with Bajani here on the idea that maybe seeing something as small as Titus Howard deactivating his Twitter account, particularly knowing what that typically means for Titus Howard, do you think that that might be a sign that things are changing, particularly with that area of the football team that we're all so concerned about right now, which is the offensive line?
Look, man, Sean Bajani, not only do I agree, I wrote this down last night when I saw the Titus news. This is a sure sign that the offensive line is feeling it. And I'll take it a little a step further. I think it's just eliminate all the outside noise.
Yeah.
I think it might be as far as an edict, but certainly a discussion that D'Amico Ryans and Chris Strasser and maybe Bobby Slowick has had with this team and specifically the offensive line, just focus on what we're doing. You know, enough with all this stuff. It's not even about the noise. It's like, I'll put it this way, and I told you this before the show, I don't think there's ever been a bigger week for a Texans offensive line than this week. Ever. 23 years. Because three of these guys are among your top 10, I believe, or 11. I think it's 11. I think three of the guys on the offensive line are among the top 11 paid players on your roster. Another one was a number 15 overall pick. You guys got to just shut up, block it all out, and play some good football.
And block it up.
And
right?
Block it up.
Yeah.
And play some good football. I don't think it's just like, oh, the noise, focus. I think it's, you guys, this is the week where you have to show us something. Like, I think this is a huge week for the offensive line because you're paying them the most among you know, certainly the most with Laremy Tunsil and the next two guys, Titus Howard and Shaq Mason, I believe, are like 4th and 11th highest paid on the roster. And then you got the number 15 overall pick in Kenyon Green. 5th and 12th, okay.
Yeah.
You need to see it on the field. We need to see no or very few penalties. We need to see C.J. Stroud throw a pass on time from the pocket. We need to see, oh, I don't know, a 3rd and 2 would be nice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We need to see.
I personally would like to see some push on a run play.
Some push on, like, that's the other thing I put down.
I would like to see some yards before contact, yes. Personally.
And here's the best part of all. I don't think they did this on their own. Not only did they get the messaging of set aside the outside noise and he shut down his Twitter and maybe some others are doing similar things. I think it goes so far as, you know, what D'Amico Ryans, and we know this, but this is a good reminder, what D'Amico Ryans tells us publicly, That ain't what he tells them privately. No. That ain't what he tells them privately.
And we have that on multiple accounts from people that I think you can trust in this. Aziz Al-Shaair, Jimmy Ward have both made allusions to or said explicitly outright. Like when they get in that film room, when they get behind closed doors, that D'Amico Ryans that they're dealing with or that we're dealing with is not quite the one that they see.
Yeah.
And so, you hope that, that message has been, has landed. And I think that this probably is a sign that at the very least, right? I don't know. Because I've seen some people text, there's the idea that maybe the getting off of the Twitter for Tytus Howard is just avoiding the negativity because there's a lot of it that has been flowing that way. And I imagine
it seems like
a lot of it has been Laramie, but I'm sure Tytus has gotten his fair share in the course of this. But I agree that I think it's more than that. I don't know how much more I can make it, but at the very least, it feels like this is a move. And I, as someone who is also chronically online, there's times where I'm like, well, I just need to focus. Let me put this down.
Yeah.
And that feels like at the very least what's happening. And one of the things that's nice about that is I know that some people, the one that immediately comes to mind, Seth Payne and Pendergast, 6 to 10 every weekday on Sports Radio 610, has talked about the idea of with Laramie Tunsil, how is his bad habits or all, whatever you want to call that, affecting the other guys on the line. And at the very least, what this feels like is, at least Tytus Howard, in a small way, is like, no, let me focus.
Yeah.
No, I need to focus. I need to make the main thing the main thing. And ultimately, this will not matter if they get out there and they make the same mistakes or similar mistakes.
Yeah.
Or really, a lot of any mistakes, really. But I think that this does, it's a good harbinger that at least, as you mentioned, they're feeling it.
And I think it goes further. And this is because I heard D'Amico Ryans with Mark Vandermeer last night. I believe they call it coffee with the coach or something like that. And he basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, Laramie doesn't really have a lot of excuses. Line up next to the guard where you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Just all you got to do is line up next to Kenyon Green.
Right. It's like the center is on the ball.
Yeah.
The guards line up off the center. And all you got to do is line up off the guard and you should be good.
Yeah. And so I think he gets a lot more direct with them when he's telling them that, when he was going over the film. And starting today is the first big day of practice. We'll get you what we know as we know it from the practice field. But I also think, Reggie, I think there's an or else factor here.
Mm.
I really do. Like, you heard me Monday. We talked about it. I think you got to bench this guy because not only the message to him, but the message to everyone on the squad. If you can bench Laramie Tunsil, the highest paid player on the team, because he is a net negative right now. He really is. He's killing drives. He's doing all this thing. I think if you don't do it this week, and then yesterday we talked about where's the line. Where at what? One more game of false starts, two more, five more, and then you finally bench him? No. I think this is all just indicative of the messaging that they're getting, how they're feeling it, and the or else that they might be hearing from their coaching staff.
Yeah, and something that I imagine will help crystallize just how below the standard the play was on Sunday. I just saw, per Aaron Wilson, Vikings defensive end Jonathan Grenard named NFC Defensive Player of the Week.
I should hope so. Man.
Right? Obviously, career high 3 sacks in that game. The 34-7.
That hurts.
Game.
Man. And a guy that you possibly could have paid. I wouldn't take anything back, but you could. That guy was on your team, man. Well, you drafted that guy.
Yeah. Well, it's not just that, right? It'd be one thing if it's all that guy's over there doing it against some other team. He did it against your boys, right? Yeah, the offensive line that we're talking about.
That offensive line.
That practiced against him week in and week out. Right? That offensive line that practiced against him week in and week out that shouldn't know what's happening against him.
Mm-hmm.
He came in and he embarrassed you guys to the tune of 3 sacks and to where the point where the NFL was like, we got to give you an award for the week behind that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should crystallize the work that is in front of this offensive line.
And then last thing on this, not only do I think that is what is in play here and that's what that's indicative of, I hope they did. I mean, I hope D'Amico gave them, everything and did the or else and did the very direct focus on what we're doing here and did the, you guys are a net negative, as I put it, however he wanted to put it, because this is the biggest week this offensive line and certainly maybe any Texas offensive line has ever had.
All right. We hope that change is coming, but ultimately remains to be seen when the Texans play the Jaguars, NRG Stadium's 12 p.m. on Sunday. Pregame will start at 9 right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping. Is the NHL coming to Houston? And also, are we seeing the holdout or hold-in ultimately make its way to college football? We'll discuss all that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into what's popping here. Sports Radio 610 in the Loop. You got John Lopez, you got Figgy Fig, you got myself, Reginald Atatula, and you have an opportunity to win $50 to Texas Star Grill Shop. That's coming up in the 12 o'clock hour, so you want to keep it locked here. Also, you got a day baseball. Now, of course, the big thing to acknowledge when it comes to the Astros is that they are once again, for the seventh time in 8 years, the AL West champions. In fact, over this eight-year stretch, they have won more division championships than they had in all of the other time of this club together, right? Like, in this stretch. Like, this is true
Isn't
dynasty
that incredible?
Stuff. True dynasty stuff.
Just absolutely incredible.
But, of course, the work is not done. One of the things about this eight, ten-year stretch in that range is that they have gone on and done big things. It's not just been winning the division. It's winning the World Series twice. It's going to the ALCS.
Every year.
And so those that remains ahead of them, and that is the work that they are moving towards. But on today, I don't know how much today is gearing them up for that. Yusei Kikuchi will be on the mound opposite George Kirby on the day game, the conclusion of the three-game set versus the Mariners. We mentioned what the lineup is, and the big thing is that Jose Altuve, who has played more games than he has in probably the last 4 or 5 years, more plate appearances than he's had in the last 4 or 5 years this season, he'll get the day off. Kyle Tucker, who obviously has had his ups and downs dealing with a shin fracture for the course of 3 months,
or a deep bruise, either way.
I don't think we ultimately landed there. I know that was what we said for a while, but ultimately I don't think that's where we landed. He'll get the day off as well. So yeah, they're gearing themselves up for playoff contention, but they'll play today. Other things around into what's popping, I guess. Yesterday we mentioned this quickly, but because we were so wrapped up with B. Scott and his thoughts when it came to the Texans, we didn't acknowledge fully the things that came out of the opening of the Memorial Hermann Rockets Training Center over there on the West Loop.
Yeah, $75 million. Whew. And it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it looks really good from the pictures that I
saw.
I want to see if they'll let me go play basketball there. I imagine I'll get thrown out of there like Jazz.
Probably work that.
Or at least work out over there.
Just take some shots, man.
Yeah, let me get some shots up, man.
Yeah.
Come on. And then if you want to give me a 10-day, we can do that too.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Okay, fair enough. Touche. But Tilman Fertitta, the owner of the Rockets, looking to own some more teams locally. He did mention the idea of like bidding for a WNBA expansion team. And one of the things that he mentioned is that there's probably only going to be one expansion team in the next couple of years. And there's a lot of cities vying for it. So there's probably not a great shot that he'll have an opportunity to revive the Comets here in Houston. But the one that was, I think, caught a lot of people's attention was the idea of possible expansion into baseball. We have a baseball team. They just won a division.
Right.
They just won a division title.
Hey, Tillman, get another one, man.
Yeah, no, don't do that. No, we don't need to split the city.
That'd be sweet. Hey, Chicago does it. We're bigger than Chicago. Right behind Chicago.
Yeah, I don't care about
it
Chicago.
It could be the Houston Acadia.
Put them in Sugar Land. Expand like that stadium. Let's go. A-L-N-L.
I don't like what you're doing right now. One slip of the tongue, and now you're trying to split the city. Look at you. Disappointed. Hockey, right? Obviously, the Arrows existed for a while, but not in the National Hockey League. Tell me, Fertitta, it sounds like he's in real negotiations to try and make that happen. This is what he said. Somebody said put him in the Woodlands. Stop trying to add another baseball team, y'all. Stop that.
The Houston of the Woodlands.
What are you doing?
NL team.
Are you trying to do the
Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim?
Get Oakland if the Las Vegas deal falls through.
Stop doing this.
And put him in the NL.
I don't like what you're doing right now.
That would be fun.
I don't like this. Hockey team. And this was Tilman Fertitta to actually talk about the possibility of an expansion team.
I think the NH, I know whatever I say, I'm going to read on the ESPN headline down there. So I've got to be really careful here. NHL would be great in Houston. They are looking to expand.
Come on now.
We're hoping that no team right now meets the price that they want for an expansion team, and we're hoping that we somehow can get the team by being one of the best cities in America and also paying the right price for an NHL team.
So Tillman Fertitta is negotiating publicly.
Correct. Correct. Negotiating in the media is always an interesting thing, and you're absolutely right that that's what's happening.
Billion-dollar buyer or whatever it is. I mean, he's putting on a show right now.
Is that
right
another
here.
One of your favorite
reality
TV? No, I didn't.
I watched it a little
he
bit.
He was like, I tried it. Not good.
Yeah. Because of Tillman, I tried it, but nah. Anyway, it's not always the smartest thing to negotiate publicly, but you got to love that he's giving it a shot here. Because Houston, as the largest city, you know, without an NHL team, it's kind of a disgrace.
It's also just one of the largest markets that you're dealing with, right?
Period. Yeah, period. Now, whether you think it can survive in down years and all that, we could have that discussion. I don't know. I'm a little unsure about. And Dallas is a good example. They've been really good, but when they've been bad, they haven't exactly. You know, been it hasn't been front of mind for a long time.
It's a real niche, yeah. Like being up there. Mm-hmm. I did see like that when the people that are fans of that Stars team,
yeah,
they're really in there, right? Like, I think that happens with hockey fans in general. Like, it can be really insular in some ways,
yeah.
Which is a little bit of a good thing, right? Is you get your fan base, and if you can sell a good amount of tickets in your arena with that you know, set of fan base, mm-hmm. that will help you through the down years, and hopefully just the general you know, vibe of the city will help you in the up years where everybody wants to go, just the event of it all.
But cities in warm climates, you know, Arizona, Florida, Dallas, they've struggled. And
Atlanta has had some issues.
Atlanta has struggled.
Yeah.
So we can have that discussion if and when it ever happens.
But Florida's an interesting test case because they found their niche.
They've been with
a fan base as well. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the things that you might be dealing with. But Houston also has been somewhat transient, right?
Very much. And that's where I was going to go with it. The one thing they have going for it, and the one reason, well, two reasons that Houston needs an NHL team is because of the market size.
Yeah.
You get the NHL, I think. Negotiating in public helps Tillman in this case because the NHL knows we got to be in Houston, man.
Yeah,
we got to be in Houston. We got to figure out a way.
Yeah, I think both Patrick Creighton, who I know put out a really interesting piece that I think was on Twitter. He just kind of wrote a really long
2,000 words.
Yeah, that was a piece. Yeah, you said it right.
I thought it wasn't
a tweet.
We call him Mr. 2,000.
Well, I mean, but it was well
no,
thought
good.
Out. And it was well worded, and yeah. I want to give him his credit for his penmanship in that way.
That was an article.
And it's insightful.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. Right? We need to go. Next time, Pat, what I need you to do is just go ahead and send it to my man B. Scott. Put that up on the website. Let's drive some traffic, baby. Let's drive some traffic. But no, a great piece, and like talking about just that, the mm-hmm. idea that. I think the reason why you can have this kind of negotiation is because of all the other teams that you imagine are like vying for the mm-hmm. opportunity to expansion. Nobody else has the kind of yes. geography. Nobody has the kind of real estate that Houston offers. And so in some ways, and I think Seth made this note earlier, just like the NFL was lobbying to get in LA, mm-hmm. right? It's just, it makes sense and it's beneficial to the league to have a team in such a big market, even with the constraints and the possible downsides
yeah.
of the particular place. So yeah, man, it'll be interesting to see what happens, but I think just the fact that he was so hesitant to go as far or as quickly in mm-hmm. that statement that we heard earlier, he being Tillman Fertitta,
yeah.
I think that might bode well for the possibility of hockey being played in Houston in the next decade.
I think it does. I think it absolutely does because of all those things we've just been talking about. It needs it. It's the huge market and all that. And by the way, Tillman knows how to cut a deal, man. He's been known to know how to cut a deal. And I like the strategy. And normally I don't like negotiating in public, but I like the strategy here for Houston.
Yeah. So I'm super excited to see if that happens. From the 8-2, would you rather see the Comets come back or have an NHL team? I think a majority of people would say an NHL team.
Yes.
I think me personally, because I'm such a hoop head and I'm in on the WNBA, I'd love to see the Comets. But mm-hmm. I also very much remember, you know, having the Arrows here and the way that made me feel as somebody who wasn't even like a hockey fan as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would love to have that feel, restore the feeling in that way. So
it'd be nice to have the Comets back, though, man.
It would.
It would be.
Especially now.
Yeah, just in time for somebody like a Juju Watt. What's
Marcus?
Your name?
Ooh, I like
imagine her playing here in Houston.
Yep. Yep,
that would be fun. But yeah, hey man, look, why not both? Let's go ahead and make both those happen. Hey man, get Tillman's money in that way, leagues. Come on, come down here. But yeah, that was an interesting development that happened yesterday. Another thing that happened that I know that you're real interested. I think we both came to this individually, and we were both going to put this on the run sheet, so I'm glad that we're both feeling this way. This is a college football story, but it's a little bit different in that is that UNLV, their starting quarterback, and you have his name because I completely lost my article that I was working off of, but I remember enough about this to tell you about it. His starting quarterback put out a tweet. I believe this was yesterday.
It was the overnight. Matthew Sluka.
Sluka is his name.
UNLV, keep in mind, is the number 23 team in the country.
Yeah.
They are in the hunt for a playoff berth.
Ryan, they're in the Mountain West. They're in the midst of all this realignment mess. But while that is happening, right, Sluka puts out a announcement that he will redshirt for the rest of the season. He won't play, saying, quote, "I committed to UNLV based on certain representatives that were made to me, which were not upheld after I enrolled. Despite discussions, it has become clear that these commitments would not be fulfilled in the future. I wish my teammates the best of luck this season and hope for the continued success of the program." Close quote. This is a hold-in.
This is a hold-in. This is absolutely a hold-in. I frankly believe it's good. And I know that's not real popular to say right now. But it's good because when you dig into some of the details, and his father spoke with Pete Thamel, and apparently his father said that Sluka was guaranteed $100,000,
yeah,
to transfer to UNLV.
And it's not the first time we saw this. We saw this with was it Jordan Rashida?
Yeah,
who had previously committed to Florida off of that big number that we heard about, and they couldn't come up with it, so he transferred.
But get this, he got 3,000. They promised him $100,000. He's given them a 3-0 record and the number 23 ranking and a shot at the playoffs. They've paid him 3,000.
Well, Lopez, that other stuff is nice. The idea that they're 3-0 and all that, that's nice. That is not pertinent to what we're talking about here. What was promised was not delivered. And this is why I pushed back on you on, what was it, yesterday when we were talking about college football on a Tuesday, where you're like, I see Hugh Freeze, they're getting paid. No. Who they're getting paid by matters, because there's no contract here that the school now has to abide by.
Yeah.
So when promises like this are made, they can be like, well, that's not our responsibility. That this is where it becomes an issue. And this is why I'm all behind him. Like, we are still in an era where, and we've long been in an era, it's one of the reasons why I think coaches are mad, is that they've been able to tell people flat out lies and get guys to come to their school. And once they're committed, they have no agency. Now you're seeing players have more agency, and now teams and schools have to be, and programs have to be accountable for the promises that they make.
I am 100% behind him on this. I get, and I've seen, and I know you guys have seen, this is sorry, all of a sudden, he's not fulfilled. He doesn't love the game. He's not. Dude, we're talking about getting $3,000 off a $100,000 promise.
And if
that's
we're talking about,
sorry.
And if we're talking about promises go two ways,
yes,
right? When it comes to a contract legally, you've existed in a decent amount of these, Lopez, and living in life. What happens when one side does not meet their obligation in a contract?
Exactly.
It is forfeit.
Mm-hmm.
He is not the one that has forfeit the contract thus far, right? And even if we're saying it's a verbal contract with promises, I think that the notion and the idea of a contract is in play here. And this is what happens all the time. And we've always come after the player in these circumstances.
I am not.
And
I am behind
I think at this
him.
Point, it has become, we have reached a time in college football and in sports in general where I think the general public is more and more realizing that, hey man, these dudes have been done wrong, and now they have a little bit of agency to be able to be like, no.
And they have agents.
Yeah.
His agent, spoke with Adam Rittenberg from ESPN, and said they came at him in February, never received payments despite the promise, never asked for adjustments, and he quote, "I have no idea what the hell happened." But yeah, like yesterday, I'm assuming that they get paid. When they get paid, I think you're going to see more, accountability, like what, not accountability, or calling out.
Sure.
Like Hugh Freeze did. He didn't get paid.
Right.
He didn't get paid. What would you do? All you people that are, you people, and I did say you
wow,
people.
That's crazy.
I did say you, but all you people that are like, oh, this is sorry, this is why the NIL needs to go away. No, the NIL is here.
God bless you fine folks that will go to work after. I've often said this, and you could think what you want about me, and that's fair. I have calculated, and I appreciate that. Hey man, the first time that a check bounces for me, I don't work there.
Yeah.
Right. And then I might resume working there once that check goes back to not bouncing, right? But like, that is basically what we're talking about here. And I think that it's fair, this text that came in, 281. I would be careful backing this kid unless the family has physical proof of this so-called
offer.
They do. And fair enough. But even if they didn't, like, I understand that that's a fair perspective. But that's the problem with the system in college football as it has been. There's not been, and there's no reason to have, like, these official documents. Yeah. And that's why I'm saying they need to move to a place where you clean all of these things up when there is an actual employment agreement, when there's these things that are actionable, and you protect the labor force in college football from these types of things. And more power to this young man for taking and standing up for himself.
And
in
by
a place
the way,
that's not protected.
UNLV has not denied one word. They offered him $100,000. They paid him $3,000. What would you do?
Yeah. So I found that to be real interesting. And look, that's tough for UNLV in a time, as you mentioned, 3-0, have an opportunity to do something special. But yeah, it's going to make, I think that a lot of coaches in college football have to take heed of this. You got to be real careful.
I wouldn't be surprised to see more players do this.
I used to love that in NCAA 14 where you start promising players, you know what I mean? And it was a game, right? Where you see if you could promise somebody something and see if they come and then, all right, well, we're going to get you to play somewhere else. Nah, it's not like that anymore. You got to be real upfront and honest with these boys. All right, you're in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, the Texans have had a lot of third and longs early on in the season. Let's see if we can diagnose why that is. We'll do it next.